In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. People have really liked the responsorial of St. Anthony. I'll sing it again. It's beautiful. It's about miracles. If then you ask for miracles, life, death, or calamities, the leprosy and demons fly, and health succeeds, infirmities, the sea obeys, and fetters break, and lifeless limbs thou dost restore. Though treasures lost are found again, when young and old thine aid implore. That's the responsory of St. Anthony of Padua, miracle worker, evangelist, proclaiming the word of God. That he was the only one that St. Francis would allow to teach his brothers, because St. Anthony was in love with Jesus and in love with the scriptures. I'm looking at the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. When the disturbance was over, what was the disturbance about? Over the silver statues of Artemis, and Paul told them that she doesn't hear, she doesn't see, she doesn't speak, she is not a god. Paul had the disciples summoned, and after encouraging them, this is very important, Paul not only teaches, but encourages the disciples, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes we just need to be encouraged, because things just don't go the way that we thought they were going to go. Oh, how many times have we experienced that in our life? When we thought something was going to happen in 1984, I thought that there was going to be a community with some people from Steubenville, Ohio, and I set my hopes on it, and guess what? It didn't happen, and I was crushed. I was crushed. I needed to be encouraged so that I could go on the gospel. He bade them farewell and set out on his journey to Macedonia. That's where Philippi is. As he traveled through those regions, he provided them many words of encouragement for them. Again, Paul encouraging the believers, because we have a threefold enemy: the flesh, the devil, and the world. Yes. We need to be encouraged. Then he arrived in Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. But when a plot was made again against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return by Macedonia. Then all the companions of Paul, Sopater, Berea, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Derbe, Timothy, Tychicus, and Trophimus from Asia, who went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So that's near and right at the Feast of Passover. And rejoined them 5 days later in Troas, where we spent a week. And what do you think he's doing during that week? He's not getting a sunburn. I'm telling you, he's preaching the gospel. He's encouraging people. Paul was a Barnabas. Remember, Barnabas means encourager. Paul was a teacher, encouraging his students. Paul was a teacher, speaking the word of God and telling them to hold fast no matter what happens. And I want to tell you today, hold fast to Jesus no matter what happens today, no matter how you feel today, how you feel abandoned. You are not abandoned. God is with you. Jesus is for you. Jesus is in you. Do not give up. This is the time to press on, not to give up. On the first day of the week, that's Sunday, when we gather to break bread, Sunday, break bread, celebrate Eucharist, Paul spoke to them because he was going to leave the next day, and he kept on speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, who was sitting on the windowsill, was sinking deep into sleep as Paul talked on and on, hallelujah, on and on. He's leaving the next day. He's going to speak until daybreak. But poor Eutychus falls asleep, and what happens? Once overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story, and when he was picked up, he was dead. Paul went down, threw himself upon him, and said as he embraced him, "Don't be alarmed, there is life in him." Then he returned upstairs, broke the bread, and ate. And after a long conversation that lasted until daybreak, he departed, and they took up the boy alive and were immeasurably comforted. So you see, Paul never stopped. You didn't time Paul. You needed a calendar to time Paul. Yes, he spoke and spoke and spoke. He had so much to give. He had so much encouragement to give. He had so much to tell them because they were going to be tempted to leave. We see in the letter to the Hebrews are being persecuted in that letter. And they're thinking how beautiful the old temple was. And what do we have? We have bread and wine. But you see, the letter to the Hebrews is told, no, don't quit. Persevere. Hold on to Christ. Hold on to Jesus. Yes, it was the letter of persecution. They were being persecuted by their own Jewish people because they were Jews who believed in the Messiah. Let me continue. We went ahead of the ship and set a sail for Assos, where we were to take Paul on board, and he had arranged, since he was going overland, when he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. We sailed again away from there to the next day and reached a point off Chios. And a day later we reached Samos, and on following day we arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to set past Ephesus in order not to lose time in the province of Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if at all possible, for the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the breaking of the bread. It was 50 days from Passover. From Miletus he had presbyters of the church at Ephesus summoned. When they came to him, he addressed them, "You know how I lived among you the whole time from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews." Yes, Paul was a human being, and the Jews rejecting him and stoning him, they made him cry. His heart was broken. He wanted salvation for his own people, and most of them rejected it. They would persecute him. He wasn't crying because he was persecuted. He was crying because Jesus was not being accepted in the lives of these Jewish people. "I did not at all shrink from teaching you in public or in your homes. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. What will happen to me in Jerusalem, I do not know, except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonment and hardships await me." In other words, the Spirit of God was telling him, you're on your way to Jerusalem, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble, but you've got to do what you've got to do in Jerusalem, and that is to preach the gospel. "Yet I consider life of no importance to me, if only I finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace." I'm going to tell you, it's all about God's grace. When we give up God's grace, We go to the law. We become legalistic. It's all about God's grace. If anyone saw the movie or the play Les Miserables, the experience of God's grace and the law were at heads with each other. They were banging heads. Jean Paul John was the man of grace. And the policeman, Javert, was a man of the law. And when Jean Paul John had time to kill him, he didn't kill him. Javert couldn't deal with grace, and he hangs himself. He's the man of the law. We need to be men and women of grace. We need to be men and women who proclaim the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say it at Mass every day. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Oh yes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is a graced religion by the gift of the Holy Spirit. But now I know that none of you to whom I preach the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. He's telling these people he's never going to see them again. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Rome. He's going to die. Listen, he's the shepherd. So I solemnly declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God, yes, including the gifts of the Spirit, including dying with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Keep watch over yourselves, over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. Yes, the church of God was bought with the blood of Jesus. With the blood of Jesus. The Catholic Church was bought with the blood of Jesus. Oh, that we would know that, and that we would give ourselves to Jesus the way Paul gave himself to Jesus. It's more than celebrating Mass. It's proclaiming the gospel in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Oh yes, it's not only sacrament, it's word and sacrament and power of God. Oh yes, I believe in the sacraments. I believe that they do what they say. I believe that. But we need the word of God, and we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that after my departure, salvage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. There are going to be people coming among you that's going to tell you to go another way. Don't believe in grace. Believe in the law. And from their own group, men will come forward, perverting the truth to draw the disciples away after them. So be vigilant, and remember that for 3 years, night and day, I unceasingly admonished each of you with tears. 3 years, Paul preached to these people. Now he's never going to see them again until he gets to heaven. How do you think the people are going to react? Let's see. And now I commend you to God and to that gracious word of his that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. I have never wanted anyone silver or gold or clothing. You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. In every way I have shown you that my hard work of that sort must help the weak. Keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Do you believe that? Are you a giver? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I tell you, the more you give, the more you get. Not always with money, with other things. I tell you, that's real. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Did Jesus say that in John? No. Did he say that in Matthew? No. Did he say that in Mark? No. Did he say that in Luke? No. Paul gets this word another way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed because he had said they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. Why are they so emotional? He is their shepherd. He has preached with them for 3 years. He has taught them for 3 years. He went from house to house proclaiming Jesus, giving the whole thing of God, the whole experience of the gospel. He didn't quit. He didn't just pray about some things and teach some things. He taught the whole thing. And he was there 3 years, and now they're not going to see him again, and they're weeping because their shepherd is leaving. We need to weep for our shepherds. We need to pray for our shepherds. We need to encourage our shepherds. Yes, we need to do that. People come to me and they say, my priest says God doesn't talk anymore. Well, that's a lie. He speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through the prophetic word. He speaks through nature. God is a speaker, Jesus is his name, because he's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Chapter 21. When we had taken leave of them, we set sail and made a straight run for Kos, and on the next day for Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Finding a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went on board and put out to sea. We caught sight of Cyprus, but passed by it on the left, and sailed towards Syria, and put in at Tyre, where the ship was to be unloaded its cargo. There we sought out the disciples and stayed a week. So he found the disciples in this place and stated, what do you think he did? He preached the word of God. He encouraged them. He was the one that was going to tell them, it is better to give than to receive. Oh yes, oh yes, this is the work of Paul. But you know, in Matthew's gospel, one time Jesus was preaching for 3 days. 3 days. And he said to the disciples, give them something to eat because they've been with me 3 whole days. And that's when he multiplied fish and bread. I tell you, preaching is so important. Before Jesus healed the sick, he preached the word of God. He preached the word of God. The proclamation of the word of God is so important. And who is it that's doing it? I tell you, God is looking for ragamuffins who will preach the word of God, who will tell people the whole story about Jesus, who will commend themselves to the Spirit of God and do what God tells them to do. They kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to embark for Jerusalem. At the end of our stay, we left and resumed our journey. All of them, women and children included, escorted us out of the city, that they're believers, and after kneeling on the beach to pray, we bade farewell to one another. Then we boarded the ship, and they returned home. Wherever Paul goes and the ship lands, he finds people who have given their life to Jesus, and he goes and preaches to them, and teaches them, and encourages them. That's my job. That's my job. What do you think I'm here for in the morning at 11:30 or whenever you hear me, 12:30 in the western part of the state? What's my job? To proclaim Jesus. It's not a job. It's a vocation. There's a difference between a job and a vocation. I have a vocation to preach the word of God by the grace of the living God. It wasn't that one day I said, I'm going to preach the word of God. That's not the way it happened. By the grace of the living God, I received that gift to preach the word of God in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. I'm telling you, Many times I have preached the word of God and it's been inconvenient. And you know, people say that know me more that Father Tom suffers, the stronger the word reaches our hearts. Well, it's good for them. It's not good for me. But that's life. I do what I need to do in season and out of season by the grace of the living God, not by my grace. We continued the voyage and came from Tyre to Ptolemais, where we greeted one of the brothers. We greeted the brothers and stayed a day with them. What do you think that he did when he stayed a day? He preached the word of God. He encouraged them. On the next day, we resumed the trip and came to Caesarea, where we went to the house of Philip the evangelist. As you see, Philip was an evangelist. He brought people to Jesus. We remember Philip bringing the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus. We remember that. And the Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and proclaimed Jesus Christ. How do you think Ethiopia met Jesus? Through the proclamation of that man, the eunuch that Philip converted by the grace of the living God. Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven and stayed with him, he had four virgin daughters gifted with prophecy. Well, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on that these four women gifted with the word of God, they're going to prophesy over Paul. They're going to tell him some of the things that he needs to know on his trip to go to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, we need those gifts of prophecy. We need those gifts of tongues and healing. We need those gifts. They have not ceased. I remember reading about St. Augustine. And Augustine said, the gifts of the Spirit ceased with the last apostle. Well, they were celebrating the Holy Saturday Mass, and there were people on pallets, and at Mass, God healed the people on pallets, and Augustine had to change his theology that God continues to heal his people. He had four virgin daughters gifted with prophecy. We had been there several days when a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. He came up to us, took Paul's belt, bound his feet, and the Holy Spirit bound his feet and hands with it, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is the way the Jews who bind the owner of the belt in Jerusalem, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the local residents begged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing weeping and taking my heart? I am prepared not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Since he would not be dissuaded, we let the matter rest, saying, "The Lord's will be done." So we see Paul knows that there's going to be trouble in Jerusalem, but he does not care. He wants to fulfill his ministry. He wants to do what God has called him to do. He tells us, "I no longer live, not I, but Christ lives in me." Oh yes, Paul crucified the flesh with Jesus on the cross. Paul is the man of God who proclaims the gospel to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. He always went into the synagogue first to proclaim Jesus from Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. And the Jews, some of them accepted it and others persecuted him. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And behold the handmaid of the Lord, Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit between July 9th and 15th at Holy Rosary Church. You can come for a day. You can come for a week. We are going to be creating, by the grace of God, an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. I also need to say, please help us with our May bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or go to inseason.net and go to PayPal. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.